I'm going to start with this line. Paul, see, to him who can strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret for long ages, but now manifested through the prophetic writings. Now manifested through the prophetic writings. If we didn't have the prophetic writings, we wouldn't understand who Jesus was. Is. So that's his point, you see. And so, but we'll look at the first reading first. This is 2 Samuel, selected text. It goes from 7:1 to 16, but they skip a few verses in between. In case the people get tired, I guess. I don't know why they do that. Well, you know the situation. David has finally decided to build a house for the Lord because he's in a tent. And David's in his palace. So he says to Nathan, his spiritual director, the prophet, here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God lives in a tent. Nathan figured out what he was thinking about. He said, go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that night, the Lord spoke to Nathan. Now listen, we hear that all the time. The Lord spoke to. Or Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came, and so forth. Do you realize how used we are to hearing that? God Almighty spoke to a man. And if he didn't guide, this is all the prophetic word, if he didn't guide by prophecy the whole history of his people, including right now, we would be lost. We wouldn't know who Jesus is. Our hearts would not be disposed to receive that interior revelation. We wouldn't know what to do with it. The prophetic writings. And so, the prophet. That night, the Lord spoke to Nathan. And we all believe that, right? Did the Lord speak to Nathan? He did. And he said something whose truth has perdured to this day. He said, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? Now, why did he say that? David, I made you. You didn't make me. You have a good idea, but I don't want you doing that. I don't want you or anybody else getting the idea that you can repay me for what I've done. That you build me a big temple and now we're even. No, I'm God and you're not. And so I choose you. You didn't choose me. But that doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm going to promise you something now so much greater than anything else. I've elected you, I've anointed you, my spirit rests on you, you win your battles, you've solidified the kingdom, all by my power. I want you to remember that. See, it was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be, translated here, the commander, not king yet, of my people Israel. He was king, but he was also commander. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. And I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. How many people can name the kings of Assyria? How many people can name the kings of Ashurbanipal and Sargon? You can get a few out, you know. But everybody in the world knows David. Because he's the ancestor, he begins the line that ends in Jesus. That's, you know, that's that whole genealogy that Matthew has, right? It starts, son of Abraham, son of David. Now, the son of David, son of Abraham, actually. Okay. And I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance, if they'll obey me. Well, they didn't. So God turned his back on them forever. Never. They got punished for their sins. They were brought back from the exile. They didn't do too well again. They were punished for their sins. They're back there now. What's going to happen about that? Who knows? But is that contested? Everybody hates them. Why? Because they're God's chosen people. We don't like anybody being chosen over me. And yet, how many thousands, millions of saints, Italian, Spanish, German, Irish, whatever, they weren't jealous. Because they were chosen by the Son of David to have him dwell in them, do great works in them, build the church in them, preach, write, heal, and build the church. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people. It's a long time. I will give you rest from all your enemies, which he did. And now comes the famous promise, which is throughout the whole of the Old Testament. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your heir after you, your seed after you. Literally, important. Seed, seed, seed. Zera. Why? Because what did God say to Eve? I will raise up enmity between that devil there and your seed. Women don't have seed. Seven times in the Bible, it's talked about a zera of a woman. It comes through generation. Without generation, there's no history. So there will be a seed. Okay? I want that word. I won't go on forever. But I need that word for something I'm going to say a little while. I will be a father to him. And he will be a son to me. What does it say in Psalm 2? Which is the psalm of the enthronement of the king, an oracle from the Adonai to me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. Why? That's the day that he enters onto his kingly throne. Right? What does it say in Acts 13:33? Paul is preaching, and he says, and he raised him up from the dead, as it says in the psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. The permanent, abiding enthronement of the Son of David forever at the resurrection. Do you see how God is so true to his word? Why he wants us to study it so we'll get to know him? Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me, and your throne shall stand firm forever. They thought that meant, we'll be big shots. So then you read in Psalm 89, the whole first part is a hymn in honor of this promise. And then the second part, but you've rejected David. You've thrown his crown in the dust. We're the laughingstock of all the nations around. I thought you said that was never going to happen. He didn't say, oh, it's never going to happen. He said, it will last forever. And now it lasts forever. Jesus Christ is eternally, divinely King, and nobody can touch it. And that's the Son of David. But he didn't say, every king is going to be a big shot. Going to have a house in Miami and a house in... No, he didn't say that. But he did promise. And the people understood. If you read 2 Chronicles, 17, I think it's 13. You have the same promise repeated. Except here, if you go on reading this, it says, and if he disobeys me, I will smite him. As it happened to so many kings, you know. But I will always be a father to him. That part is left out in the repetition of the prophecy in 2 Chronicles. Why? See, they love the Word of God. They know what to do with the Word of God. They left that out. Why? Because now the seed is not your successors. It's your seed. One, as Paul says. About Abraham. And of that one, there will be no question of disobedience and punishment. Ever. And they knew it. And that's why they said, you know, prophetically writing in this kind of dull history book, which is 2 Chronicles, they leave out all that part about punishment. Because now we're not talking about your heirs one after the other. We're talking about your seed. One. And we know that while all the kings are descendants from David and he looks after them if they want him to, there's one coming. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is why. What does it say in Isaiah 7? Isaiah goes to the king Ahaz and says, ask a sign. Right? And he says, oh, I wouldn't tempt the Lord. What does he really mean? He means, I don't want God to be that real because then I'm going to have to obey him. That's why we don't like signs and wonders. It makes everything too real. I mean, he's really real. And I got to stop sinning. So, I don't want to tempt God. And how does Isaiah answer? Now, listen. What does he say? Listen, O house of David. Understand? He's building on that promise. See, is it not enough that you bother men, that you have to bother my God? Well, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. That was a prophecy for Ahaz, but the way it was said and the way it was understood was such that the editors knew they had to preserve this oracle. It was addressed to the house of David. How many times do we have in the Psalms the same thing about the Ben David, the son of David? You see what's so marvelous about this? God talks to us. God promised all this. So we wouldn't wander around forever like lost children in the dark. He talked to us. He said these things. And he awakened in the hearts of so many others. Preserve that. Write it down. That's from God. That's why when he came, it made sense. That's why it said, you see, now that he's here, well, who is he? Go read the prophets. Then you'll find out who he is. That's why Paul says, you see, manifested through the prophetic, the mystery. What's the mystery? The incarnation. Kept secret for long ages, but now manifested through the prophetic writings. He's here. He rose from the dead. Now who is he? Read the prophets. Isn't that marvelous? I told you before, Justin Martyr, when the Gospels were not very well known, proved the resurrection of Christ from Isaiah. Isn't that beautiful? Now, there was somebody who got it. Mary. And so when the angel came to her, the angel came to her. We read that. We're so used to it. Can't you get blown away? An angel came and talked to her? Just think, you know, I'm reading this book about Our Lady coming here, Our Lady coming there, to warn us. We're such idiots, we're not even listening. Stop. The Mother of God has come. How many times to our world in the last 100 years? 50? 500? At least a whole bunch of them have been approved by the church. Mary has come and told us we're in for a hard time. Times of darkness are coming. You can turn it around if you will pray and fast and strive to be holy. And if you'll say the rosary. She's come from heaven to tell us this. And we go, ho-hum, that's very nice. I'm really glad to hear about that. And then, the health care bill is coming down the pike. What do you expect? But it's not ever out of God's hands. That's why it's more important to be at peace and to preach peace than to get everybody scared and guilty. What good is that going to do? The mercy of God will never leave. Never leave us. Always available. So the angel came, and he said, Kyrie eikaritomeni, hail, most favored one. Rejoice, most favored one. The Lord is with you. Now she knows this, the prophets that Paul is talking about, right? Both in Zechariah and in Zephaniah, you've got this one way or another, a prophecy to Jerusalem, to the city, to the nation, called Daughter Israel. Well, who is Daughter Israel? Who sums up Israel? Mary. Isn't that right? All of Israel is there in Mary. So, Here, rejoice, most favored one, the Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled. Of course she was. She knows the prophecies. What is he telling me? It's happening. Whatever the Lord has promised is going to happen right now. And she knows it. The angel said, Al tira, Miriam. Do not fear, Mary. That's what he said to all the other women to whom he prophesied. Do not be afraid. And some of the men, too. You have found favor with God. You have found favor in God's eyes. When we say that in Hebrew, the Hail Mary, you say, Masata chen ve'enei Adonai. You have found chen, favor, grace. He finds you attractive. Do you know what it says in Deuteronomy? Don't think it's because you're the biggest and most important and powerful and bright nation in the world that the Lord chose you. No. He set his heart on you. And the word there you can find, you know, well, plenty of places, but one, if in a war you've captured all these people and you see a woman there and you set her heart on you, yes, you can marry her. That's what God said about Israel. I set my heart on you. And now, God says to Mary, I set my heart on you. He's proposing marriage between the human race and his own beloved divine son. It's all up to Mary. Will you accept the proposal? If you're reading the breviary, you know that it's today, I think. Yes, it is. Where St. Bernard has that beautiful homily. Oh, Mary, say yes, please, say yes. Well, God's waiting for her to say yes. He doesn't want a surrogate womb. He wants a mother. But you see, he knows who he's talking to. She has to say yes. But God's not waiting with bated breath. He knows she's going to say yes because he knows her. So she says yes. But before that, this angel explains to her, and she must have explained it to Luke, and he wrote it down. So that, again, through the prophets, now Luke, we can get the picture. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. That's what they call That's a birth oracle. You can read them, you know. There's how many prophets and how many women of Israel, mostly barren. You will conceive and bear a son. You see, your wife, I think, exactly the same phrase in Zechariah about Elizabeth. Your wife will conceive and bear a son. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David. Finally, Psalm 89 is turned around. You promised. And look, we're the laughingstock of the whole world. King, we don't have a king, and the klutz on the throne is not even descended from David. What did you do to us, God? Did you lie to us? That's their dark night. You lied, God. But you can't lie. You're God, so I'm going to hang on to you. But man, am I ever disappointed. I thought you were going to do this. He did. Isn't that life? That's faith. How many of those great saints? Simeon, the Holy Spirit rested on him, and he awaited the consolation of Israel. He never gave up. It sure looks like you went back on your word, but I'm not going to quit believing in you. And finally, he holds in his own arms the fulfillment of the promise, right? Now you can let your servant go in peace. I have seen your salvation, which is, you see, a light to the nations, finally. The light to the nations, which is already in Isaiah, right? And the glory of your people, the glory of Israel, is what? The eternal Son of God is flesh of their flesh. And bone of their bone. Okay. And so he goes through, rule over the house of Jacob. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. And Mary says, how can this be, since I have no relations with a man? And that's the way the Messiah is going to come, born of a woman. We're still trying to figure out, how could this girl make a vow like that. She probably didn't yet. St. Thomas says she probably said, Lord, I think you want me to be a virgin. There are no virgins in Israel. He's going to be done in a minute, I think. She probably said, I don't understand it, but I think you're calling me to be a virgin. I leave it in your hands. Her mother and father told her to get engaged to Joseph. Yes. I leave it in your hands. This is pro ball, you know, trusting God. How many centuries those saints trusted God when they had no king? And so, how can this be, since I do not know man? The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, as he does the Ark of the Covenant. That's how they know the presence of God is there, when the power, the Shekinah, overshadows the Ark, right? And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy. Kadosh. Holy. Son of God. Not make-believe Son of God. Eternal Son of God. And then a sign. That's quite a bit to be saying yes to, right?